Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning and welcome to The Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda. I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our service or our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. The Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come play.
Spirit to come into your heart. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Of God.
Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. For the Bible says in Romans 10, 14 through 15, in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. At this time, our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins is going to come and bless our hearts this morning with a word from the Lord, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap. Praise. Amen. God bless you, Apostle Mother Wiggins. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you this morning, Evangelist Hilda?
Blessed, thank you. Praise be to God.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, thank God for another Saturday.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank God for another Saturday. We're supposed to have communion today, right, Evangelist?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Amen. Praise God. And, you know, we're looking forward to that. Amen.
Amen.
To remember Jesus and his shed blood at Calvary. Amen. What he did for the whole world. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
I just want to say good morning to our radio listeners out there, and we're so glad to have you on board this morning.
Yes.
We hope that all is well with you and your family. Amen. And I just want to let you know that our visionary and his spouse, they send you their blessings and their love. Amen. And they hope that all is well with you this morning. Amen. And I just want to thank God for our visionary and his spouse, because if it wasn't for our visionary, this program would not be on. Amen. His obedience. Because God likes obedience.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, he does.
And I just want to say that for Evangelist Hilda, amen, that she is so faithful, amen, and she comes on from Tuesday to Saturday,
Tuesday to Saturday.
And she opens up our program. Amen. And she brings a sweet hour of prayer from Tuesday to Friday. Sweet hour of prayer. And she also brings a word, a mighty word. And I'm so sorry that I missed that word yesterday, because I know that must have been a powerful word from Evangelist Hilda.
Amen.
Praise God. And I just want to give a shout out to our host, Sister Barbara, who's going to be on later with poetry right after me. And she comes on Wednesday with our lesson. Amen.
Amen.
And our first lady comes on Tuesday with a lesson.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise
so
God.
If you're able to try to tune in, from 7 on, 7 to 8 on Tuesday and Wednesday. And also before that time, a sweet hour of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
I think it's 6, 5 o'clock?
6 to 7.
6 to 7. Sweet hour of prayer. And I just want to give a shout out to Pastor Kathy and her husband. They're going to be on later with Talk in the Sanctuary right after Sister Barbara. And I hope all is well with Apostle Jackson, Dr. V. Turner, and Prophetess Washington, who have all been a blessing to this ministry. So I just want to give a shout out to them, to their congregation, and their families. I hope that all is well. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. So you know what I'm going to say right now? I'm going to turn our attention to Father God. Amen. To Jesus and his shed blood at Calvary. Amen. So wherever you are, you could be in this country or any other part of the world, we're going to all come together as one because it's Jesus that pulls us all together. Amen.
Amen.
When we come into God's kingdom and we keep our eyes on Jesus, everything else vanishes, and we come together as one. Don't care what denomination you are, how you look. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's all about Jesus and his shed blood. Amen. And that we are in Christ. We are born again. Amen. So you could be in this country or you could be in any other part of the world. You could be in India. You could be in Russia, China. You could be in the Ukraine. You could be in the Caribbean. You could be in America. You could be in Haiti. You could be in Australia, Brazil, wherever you are, Africa, wherever you are, we're all coming together as one. In fact, that's what makes us one. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we became one body. And that's what he's coming back for, a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Amen. So just let us bow our heads while I say this short prayer. Or is it a long prayer? Amen. Father God, you are exalted. You are exalted far, far, far above the heavens and the earth. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. The heavens is your throne and the earth is your footstool. We thank you for the love gift that you have given us in the person of your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his death, burial, and resurrection that ushered in the new covenant of amazing grace. Father God, we thank you for for his shed blood that covers us when we enter into your kingdom. With the mighty name of Jesus on our lips and in our heart. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins when we repent. We thank you for your ultimate mark of salvation by the seal of the Holy Spirit. Father God, you have the ability to be everywhere at the same time. And so we acknowledge your presence in this place. We love you and we adore you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. So right now I'm going to sing a song, a short one and a long one. Amen. If you know the song, you can sing along with me. And if you don't know it, it's okay. You can just listen to the words of the song. Amen.
Praise God.
God so loves the world. God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten that whoso believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Hear the bells singing, they're singing, that we can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ has risen from the dead. The angel upon a tombstone said, he is risen just like he said. Quickly now, go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, he has risen. Hallelujah, he's risen. Hallelujah, he's risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that we can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ has risen from the dead. The angel upon a tombstone said, he is risen, just as he said. Quickly now, go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, he is risen. Hallelujah, he's risen. Hallelujah, he's risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that we can be born again. Amen. And Christ has risen from the dead. Amen. But today we're remembering his blood, his shed blood at Calvary. But the good news is that God raised him up from the dead. Amen. And we can be born again.
Yes, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So right now I'm getting ready to go into this message today, and before I do, I'm going to say a short prayer. Father God, I thank you for giving me another opportunity to speak a word into your people's lives today. And I ask you to protect that word as it goes in their spirit, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So as I go forth today with the leading of the Holy Spirit, may it be all of you and none of me. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. My scripture reading for today is coming from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11. I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, where it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, and God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he has this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek his face. Amen. Seek Amen. Him. Praise God. We thank God for that mighty word of God, and we thank God for the inspired word of God, and that God is always revealing himself unto us. Amen. If we would pay attention, he's always revealing or trying to reveal himself and who he is to us. Amen. Christianity is not only the only way of life based on faith. Rather, it is the only way of life based on faith in Christ. Amen. So Christianity is life based on faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Gamblers are motivated by a kind of faith in Lady Luck. Even scientists are forced to operate on certain faith suppositions. Scientific experiments assume that matter is worth studying, that the human mind can comprehend the realm of matter, and that there is consistency in the universe. God is consistent in what he does. Amen. The discipline of natural science requires human observers. When an adequate number of qualified observers corroborate the findings of one another, general conclusions are held to be valid. The primary reason being that a large number of observers have reported the same occurrences. It is at this point that we see the similarity in scientific experiment and religious experience. The Christian lives by faith, but not by a blind faith. Hundreds of thousands of people from every level of society and culture since the days of Christ have reported having a personal encounter with the living Christ. I know there's many of you out there that have had a personal, intimate encounter with the living Christ in some way or another. It could have been through a dream, through a vision. You know what I'm saying? You had some kind of an encounter with Christ. And a lot of times that has brought you to Christ by this encounter that you had with him. I was remembering some encounters that I've had with Jesus Christ where he's revealed himself to me. I know one time he revealed himself to me on the train. I was on the train, and he got on the train. You know, he was hanging on. I turned around, and, you know, by his garb and everything, I knew it was Christ. Amen. He revealed himself to me in a dream. He revealed himself a number of times in dreams of I've had an encounter with Christ. Amen. And he reveals himself to you. Amen. If you're chosen, he reveals himself to you, and that helps you to kind of make up your mind to follow Amen. After Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The gospel message invites people to come and see for themselves, to commit themselves to Christ in faith, and to see if a personal encounter occurs in the process. This kind of involvement is the only real basis of life. Faith gives substance. Amen. Praise God. Well, before I go on, my text for today is Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek his faith. Amen. And as you know, this is coming from Hebrews chapter 11, 1 through 6. Amen. And my title for today is The Necessity of Faith. The necessity, because see, God won't move if you don't have that faith. Faith causes God to move. He moves by faith. He doesn't move by sight. He doesn't move by fear. He doesn't move by any of these things. He doesn't move by emotion. God moves by faith. You know, sometimes I'd get very emotional about something, mm-hmm. and God will remind me that he don't move by emotion. He moves by faith. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like them in the ship, Peter and them, when Jesus went to sleep, and it was a storm, and Peter said, he said, don't you care that we're perishing? You know what I'm saying? I would be saying to God, I'd be so in emotion and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, God, don't you see my dilemma and all of that? But then he reminds me later now through a speaker, maybe through a pastor, and he'll say, but I move by faith. I don't move by your emotion.
Uh-huh. Amen.
I move by faith, that you have faith in me and that you have the faith that I'm going to take care of the situation. You know what
yes.
I mean? And you have to act like it, that you know that I'm going mm-hmm. to take care of the situation for you, whatever
Absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen.
So faith gives substance to our spiritual hope. The word translated substance, hopostasis, literally means to stand under. The idea of support or foundation is involved. It seems probable that here, the idea of title deed is implied by the use of substance. Faith brings to us the same assurance that comes from having the title to desire property. But faith is never passive. Faith is not passive. Faith puts unseen realities to test by acting on them. In the actual confrontation through commitment, the reality of the unseen is experienced, producing assurance. See? So even if you don't see anything, you still have to have that faith that whatever it is going to materialize. You have to act like it. You have to talk about it also. You know what I'm saying? And it's the same with God. God is a spirit being.
Yes.
And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So you have mm-hmm. to have faith that God exists.
That's right.
You have to act like he exists. And he'll know whether you're acting like he exists or not. Amen? God looks at the heart of the person. He knows whether you believe he exists or not. He knows it. Jesus himself invited such testing. If any man will do God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And this is coming from John chapter 7, verse 17. The rule or the kingdom of God is unseen. The peace of forgiveness is intangible. He forgives you, but it's intangible. It's not nothing that you see, you know. Life beyond death is beyond our experience. Heaven is another dimension which our human limitation cannot comprehend. Yet because of an encounter with the risen Christ, also unseen to us, we are assured of the presence of the eternal. Amen.
Amen.
We're assured of the presence of the eternal. And then God has left his word. He's left the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
And Jesus is the word made flesh. But God has left his inspired word for us. Amen. We're going to look at the meaning of the present. The foundation on which one builds his life determines his general world outlook. We look about us and see on every hand things. We look up and we see stars millions of light years away. We see life and death and all about us. And, you know, we saw a lot of death during the pandemic.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you. A lot of death, you know, bodies in trucks, bodies in the grave, bodies piled up in an office. I mean,
yeah.
We have had our share of seeing death.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And all about us. How are we to interpret the present material universe? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In simple language, God has told us that matter is not eternal. All that we see is the handiwork of God. All that we see, the mountains, the hills, the stars, the skies.
Yes.
Amen. All that
Amen.
We see,
Amen.
Even when we look at each other, it's the
mm-hmm.
handiwork of God. Amen. The handiwork of God. When a woman has a baby, the handiwork of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
The handiwork of God, our
Amen.
Heavenly Father. And this frees us from the grip of superstition and blind idolatry. And that's one thing God doesn't like to put before him is idols, idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to believe in him. He doesn't want us to believe in superstition. He doesn't want us to believe in blind idolatry.
That's right.
You see, we have no need to worship nature.
Nope.
Because nature is God's handiwork.
Come on.
Amen?
Amen.
It's God's handiwork. The sun, when you see the sun come out,
mm-hmm.
when you see the moon come up in the evening, that's all
yes.
God's
oh,
handiwork.
Yes. That's right.
When the leaves fall
Praise
off the tree,
God. God.
Amen, that's
yes.
God's handiwork.
Yes,
amen. All the different seasons.
Yes.
And then the funniest thing is you can go to another continent
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different time. The sun comes up
oh,
a
yes.
different place and a different, you know what I mean? It's because the earth is changed, is whirling on its axle. It's turning on its axle. You
yes.
see? And while it's turning on its axle,
mm-hmm.
it's roaming around with other planets around the sun all around. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
God, this is all God's handiwork.
That's
God's
right.
handiwork. Amen.
Amen.
So we
Amen.
Don't have to, we talk about Mother Nature, but it's God's handiwork. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes, Lord.
The sun, the moon, or anything else we see,
mm-hmm.
all were created as we were. The
mm-hmm.
animal, that steak that you ate, that barbecue spare rib. The greens that you ate, what you had this morning,
Lord.
Eggs, bacon and eggs. We have no nervous faith that fears the truth. Amen.
Amen.
And that's one thing we should love about God. He tells the truth.
Yes.
There's no false news here. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on TV and you're seeing stuff. You don't even know if it's real or false. These
Amen.
Days they have false
That's
news.
True.
They bring on false stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we was crying over, who were we crying over? Diana Ross. And come to find out, that was That was false news.
Yes,
false.
A different Diana.
You don't know what to think no more. You don't know what to believe in. You know what I'm saying? Sister Barbara talked about the Senate. She asked me about the Senate. I said, I really don't know. Because it's always false news. You don't know one thing from the other. You don't know if they're telling you the truth. But one thing you know, when you're following after God, he tells the truth.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You can stand on God, lean on his word, everything.
Mm-hmm.
God tells the truth. Amen.
Amen.
The only secrets that can be discovered are those planted by God for human discovery. Science is free to ask how. The Bible is content to limit its message to the who and the why.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The who is Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yes.
The Bible is built around him, and the why is that we will have, we will be under the new covenant of grace, and we will have eternal life if we accept him as our personal Savior. See, the who and the why, because these are the basic questions necessary for a perspective to live the Christian life. God created all things for a purpose. And I know that while you're in this world, that's what a lot of people are searching for. They're searching for their purpose. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you turn to God and you turn to Jesus Christ, guess what? You're going to find your purpose.
Amen.
Because God has a purpose for each individual. But
mm-hmm.
you have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When you come into the kingdom, he'll begin to show you your purpose. Amen.
Amen.
We are part of that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And faith begins the journey towards fulfilling God's purpose. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
So right here, I'm going to stop and I'll continue this next week. Amen.
Amen.
Because I am aware with God there's no timing. He can step in and outside of time, but I have to be aware of the time. Amen.
God
knows that. He gives me wisdom to discern time. So right now, I hope you enjoyed this message, and I turn it over to Evangelist Hilda. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. We want to thank Apostle Mother Wiggins for that wonderful word this morning. I think that deserves a hand clap praise. And now at this time, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Thank you. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How you all doing?
Blessed, thank you.
I'm just getting a slight echo.
Okay. It's
I just want to tell Mother, I enjoyed your sermon, and I was asked to bring a sermon about 2 weeks ago, the fourth Sunday in May, and that was my scripture also.
Amen. Praise God.
Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6, with the concentration on verse 6. Amen.
Amen.
And my topic, I think I told Evangelist Hilda, my topic was love, what's faith got to do with it? And my subtopic was faith, what's love got to do with it? And so I won't go on, but almost everybody, it was four of us, almost everybody spoke about either faith or love. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
God, because no one had told us what to choose to speak about, you know, his word. So,
well,
it was
actually, it's the Holy Spirit that leads you to do that. Sometimes when you see everything come together like that. Yeah.
We understand. I'm just saying, it was just so, you know, funny that it happened. not funny, mm-hmm. that's the wrong word, but it was wonderful that it happened that way.
Amen.
So I'm going to read a poem that I wrote May the 10th, which I thought about Mother when I said I would repeat it. It was written for Roulette. Remember, Mother?
Yes. It was written for
Roulette.
What is it?
Roulette. It was written for Roulette.
I don't understand what you're saying.
No problem.
You know, it's not clear. That's what it is.
Can you hear me, though?
I do hear you. But when you said that word, I didn't understand what you said.
Okay, oh. I'm going to read the poem.
Okay.
You answered what he's saying?
No, I was going to tell Mother the word was roulette.
Roulette, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. It's called A Tribute to Roulette. Come out from among them. Where do I begin? I could say a lot of things to show appreciation and honor for a pastor par excellence. She is led by God. She is a child of the king. She's sassy. She's classy. Oh, and she loves traveling. She's a woman. She's a wife. She's a mother. She's a sister, an aunt, a niece, and a grandmama too. And listen, when she brings a word, it's powerful. It might make you run, shout, and praise God. Hallelujah. She's good. She's awesome. She's heavy with her stuff. She has wisdom and insight, yet that's not enough. She preaches with all of her might. Sometimes she's rough. When she preaches truth to us, she's like roasted peanuts or Lay's potato chips that you can't eat just one. Try that, if you will. She makes you, she causes you to want more and more and to come back to hear Pastor Kathy speak over and over and over again. Oh, my God. If you have yet to hear her speak, teach, preach, or talk in the sanctuary, check the calendar, please, for the next time she's on next week. When you listen in the spirit, you can hear her in your heart. And so go on with your bad self. God bless you, dear heart. Pastor Kathy, we love you and we appreciate you. Don't stop. Keep doing what you're doing, especially for God. And in your anointed preaching, your speaking in your way, in your very being, remember this. Jesus loves you, excuse me, and he cares for you. He makes a way. Let El Shaddai, God Almighty, continue to keep and use you in all ways, each and every day. This is our humble prayer in the matchless, mighty, yoke-bearing name of Jesus the Christ, the one and only begotten Son of Abba Father. Everlasting God. Amen. And still, she rides.
Amen.
Roulette, come out from among them. And my scripture is coming from the 23rd Psalm in the Message Bible where it says, God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid. When you walk by my side, your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brimmed with blessing. your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. Amen.
Amen. Wow. I love the last part. With the way that they word it in the 23rd Psalm, like what each verse meant.
In the message, kinda, yes.
Yeah, they kind of broke it down.
Yeah, that was very nice.
Yeah.
God bless you, Mother.
Amen.
God.
Praise God.
So, yeah, I know you were to come on Zoom, so I said, let me share that with you.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, welcome. My pleasure.
All right, so now we're getting ready for the best part of the program, and that's bringing people into Christ. Amen. Praise God. So if there's any of you out there who want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and God has opened up a way for you to do that today. Amen. So all you have to do is just say this short prayer after me. Just repeat it after me. Today.
Mother, you broke up. I didn't hear what you said.
Today I give you my heart. Wash it and cleanse it.
Today I give you my heart. Wash it and cleanse it.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I believe that you raised your only son, Jesus, from the dead.
I believe that you raised your only son, Jesus, from the dead.
I now take him into my heart.
I now take him into my heart.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
Well, if there's anyone out there that has said this short prayer, we are so happy for you. We welcome you into the body of Christ, and we know that all heaven is rejoicing. When you said that prayer, something happened. The Holy Spirit came to reside inside of your body. Don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit is the divine teacher. If you don't have a church home, just ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to the right place where you can hear the word and mature and you can have fellowship with other believers. It could be in a church or it could be on Zoom or one of those on the internet or like that. Amen?
Amen.
So again, we are so happy to have you. And we welcome you into the body of Christ. Amen. As it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, it says, as Peter said to God's chosen people, I'm saying to you today, you love Jesus Christ even though you have never seen him. And though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your soul. Amen.
Amen.
So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another, and let us all say amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. And now at this time, we are going to go into our communion service for this is a new month and a new Saturday, the first Saturday of the new month. So I hope and pray that everyone have their elements in hand and that you have your Bible also. So the Lord's service is for the Lord's people. Those born. Yes? Okay. The Lord's service is for the Lord's people, those born again and living a holy life. The scriptures are clear that each person bears responsibility before God to determine his or her fitness to partake. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11 and 28, where it says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." But the participation is not optional for the believer. Christ said in 1 Corinthians 11 and 24, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' This do, if you know that your child has prayed to receive Christ and that he has a basic understanding of the symbolism involved, then he, she, or they should be free to participate." For the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 24, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had taken when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Now we will have a short prayer for this bread, which is the body of Christ, by our very own Sister Barbara.
Praise God.
Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you for another Last Supper in remembrance of you. We will never forget you. You do so many great things for us. Thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a day we've never seen before. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for breath. Thank you for life. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. Likewise, let us eat together. Praise be to God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, 25 through 26, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" And now we will have a short prayer for the representation of the blood of our Lord and Savior by our very own Pastor Kathy DuBose.
Amen.
Praise God.
Precious and Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, oh God, for the blood that was shed for each and every last one of us. Father God, you said, "As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." We want to remember you every single day. When we look around and we see all that you've done, your blood, the price you paid so that we can come into relationship with you, oh God, what can we say but thank you? Thank you. We don't even have the right words. We don't have enough to offer you, but we offer you our lives.
Yes.
We live as Christians, oh God. We want to be Christ-like because we do this saying thank you for the blood that was shed for every last one of us, for our healing, for our deliverance, for our salvation. Thank you, God, for doing that for us, for loving us enough to look past us and do it anyway because you loved us and you didn't pay attention to our fault. We thank you, we love you, we honor and adore you, and we especially are grateful for the blood that was shed for us. each and every last one of us. We give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So let us drink together. Praise be to God. May the Lord bless and keep you, that you might grow strong in the image of Christ to redemption. And let us all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for doing it, Jesus.
Now, at this time, we are going to turn this part of our program over to
I didn't
to
hear the song. I missed the song.
We didn't pray the song, but I could pray it if you want me to.
I have to have the song.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank
the song
you.
Is coming right now. Praise be to God. Yeah.
Bread of life. Sent down the glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word, say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread, send down some glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it. We like to call you Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree you died to save man. The Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you.
Yeah.
heal me.
Amen. Back in your hands, Pastor Kathy.
Bless the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I am so grateful. This is why I love hearing this song. I love communion. Jesus, that's the only reason. That's why I love doing it. And here's the thing. I could be laying in bed in a sound sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Ghost will wake me up. It's time. So I turned over. I said, oh, what time is it? 7:40. I said, oh, let me get up and get myself together. Why? Because God says, if you really want to do this for me, if you want to remember me, if you want to partake with me, I will always honor that and make sure you don't miss it. So I laid it, and when I say I was sound asleep, because I've been taking that vinegar, but the Holy Ghost woke me up, and I got up and I said, ooh, it's first Sunday. Ran in there, grabbed my little item, and came in here, and I want to tell y'all, but before I tell y'all, I got to say this. Precious and Heavenly Father, just want to say thank you, oh God.
Thank you
for allowing us to see another day, another day that was not promised but given, oh God. You saw fit to protect us all week long from danger seen and unforeseen, oh God. You don't have to step outside your house for there to be danger. There could be danger right inside your home. People have fallen in their bathtub and died. So we thank you, oh God, these things that we don't often think about that you are protecting us from. Just want to say thank you. Thank you for doing it, God. Thank you for loving us the way that you do. Not condemning us, but loving us. Being a forgiving, merciful God. I honor you. I adore you. And I'm so grateful you have chosen to put in your word as often as you do it. Do it in remembrance of me. We say thank you. We love you. We adore you. Father God, be within this conversation this morning that it gets spoken with nothing but love. We ask all of these blessings. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 It just blesses my heart because I'm telling y'all, I could be sound asleep, but because I have said to God, oh, I'm going to take communion. Oh, I'm going to do this. He makes sure I get right where I want to be.
Amen.
And he's gotten so, let me take that back. I've gotten so good that I can hear his voice saying, before you do this, go get it right with whoever you have wrong with. And so I go and I apologize and do all this stuff because I want to take it in a manner that's pleasing unto God. Communion means a lot to me. It is more than just a ritual of taking it once a month. It is doing it in remembrance of him. And I'm going to tell you, we stop right there, right? We stop at, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. But look at verse 26. Verse 26 is the most important verse. It says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You know what that is? He's saying, you're bearing witness of me until I return. Every time you do this, you're remembering me, and then you go out and you bear witness. Because that's what proclamation is. It's you going out and telling somebody else about his death. Birth, death, and resurrection. My goodness, glory to God. I am just so grateful, and I'm not here to preach today. I'm here to talk. But we thank God. Father, you know sometimes I get it confused. Ooh, I get it confused. I forget what role I'm in, right? Thank you, God. But anyway, I'm just here to have an open discussion that we could all benefit from. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
But you know how I get on communion? I start losing it. I'm like, wait a minute, where's the song? Where's the song? I ain't hear the song. Oh, my goodness. Well, ladies, I appreciate all the prayers that have gone up for me. I wish I could say that I am healed. I can say it, but my body don't know it's healed yet. So,
oh, yes.
Thank you, Lord, I am healed, but my body don't know it. My lips are still big and burning and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, I got so scared, I went to the doctor. Because I don't understand, it's been almost a month now, and it hasn't gone away. And when I tell you it's painful, it's painful.
Just still that way?
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am.
Did you put coconut oil on it?
No, here's the thing. I put all kind of stuff on it, you know, and I went to the emergency room because it was killing me the other night. So I figured that's my body saying it's more serious than you think. Go get it checked out. So we went to the emergency room. They told me they took all this blood. I think they took extra blood. I said, hey, this ain't the blood bank. I ain't come to get blood. I come to be healed. And when the test came back, the test came back, and they said that my blood was normal. There was no infection or anything in there. And so they gave me Benadryl. They said I must be allergic to something. And I said, well, what am I allergic to? Because Lord knows I will get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Who want to continue to go through this pain when they don't have to?
Are you still putting that mask on your face?
No.
Oh.
No. Well, that would explain the outside, that rash I know came from that mask on the outside. But on the inside of my mouth, I don't know how the mask get on the inside, but on the inside of my mouth, it was just, ugh. So I went to the doctor. They told me all that. I said, nothing's wrong. And here's my thing. Nothing's wrong. Why are you still taking more blood? Oh, they want to run the test again. No, y'all don't. Y'all want to store my blood because it's A positive. Think I don't know, stealing people's blood. And then charging us, what are you stealing the blood?
No.
That lady came in there and looked at me. She said, it's 580. I said, uh-huh. She said, can you take care of that now, lady? Lady.
Wow.
If I could take care of it, I wouldn't have took so long to come see you. No, I can't take care of it right now. So she said, well, don't worry, you can make a payment plan. I said, how many years y'all gonna give me? Because I pay y'all $25 a month till I get it taken care of. So I looked at the lady. Here's the thing, though. That was the cost over my insurance. My insurance is Blue Cross Blue Shield. And
that's
my card, I said, well, how much is that part?
Thousands.
Good Lord. All
that's
I did was sit in that waiting room for a few hours, come in there, let y'all take my blood pressure, come in the back, let y'all spill some blood, lay me down, gave me some Benadryl, send me home.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wow, thank God for Blue Cross Blue Shield. Because God only knows how much it would have been. But anyway, so they told me it's an allergic reaction. I'm going to the doctor on Monday. And some ladies from the church took it upon themselves to go and tell me. The two sisters, they came and said, we came to help you. We want to let you know that that's an allergic reaction. I said, no, really? They said, no, it's these trees. They're not used to all these different kind of trees in Arizona. I said, okay.
And she's right.
Okay.
Telling you, Pastor Kathy, they're right. Every time when I'm home in my house, I don't have no problems. We have trees. But when I go to my sister's house, and you know over there it's full of trees, I start coughing. My throat starts closing up. My eyes start itching and running. I told her, listen, you got to take me home.
I can't take this.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, it's I'm telling you, you get some places, you get very, very bad allergic reactions.
Yeah, but I've been here since November. Thanksgiving, yeah. Listen, I didn't have this reaction when I came out here.
Can I ask you a question, Pastor Kathy?
Yes, ma'am.
When was the last time you put on the mask? When did you last wear it?
When I went there, I had to put a mask on.
Oh, you put the mask on when you went there?
I put it on my face and then I snatched it off.
It could be that mask. It's a blue mask.
Yeah, but
you put on a blue mask with the thing.
Yeah, but the thing is, Mother, we don't wear the mask anymore.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, well, how long ago did you stop wearing it?
Maybe 2 weeks ago or so. Some stores you go in, they have a mask on. But most parts, you don't have to have it on, so I don't have it on.
Okay.
Not that mask, anyway. But I don't understand. I never felt this before. I never had an allergic reaction. But it burns, like, around my tongue.
When you was a little girl, you had a very bad reaction to insects.
Okay, well, hello. Thank God for older sisters, because the younger sister doesn't remember.
What she said? What you say, Evangelist? You said she had a bad reaction to insects.
Yes, when she came to visit us in North Carolina, a mosquito bit her, and she just broke out all over in bumps with, you know, little white pussy stuff on them. When she was about 2 or 3, 4 years old. And my mother let her.
Now, how was I supposed to remember all that?
No, you don't remember that, but I do.
Yeah, but in my years that I could remember or whatever, I don't remember that. But you know what? We're going to have a good time today. Someone was on the line the other day when I was preaching, and they said, this is what you do. Since you can only talk when you're preaching, just pretend you're always preaching. So I looked at them and I said, here's the thing, though. I don't pretend when I'm preaching. I preach.
Mm.
I walked away.
Mm-hmm.
What? People say, ooh,
they
don't even know what they be saying.
Why do they say you have to contend when you preach? I don't understand that.
He said to pretend when I'm preaching. He said, this is what you do. Since you can only talk when you're preaching, just pretend you're preaching all the time. I said, oh, yeah, but I don't pretend when I'm preaching. I just preach.
Wow.
Well, here we go. Whew. I don't know what it is, but when I tell y'all it's painful, it's painful. It's like a bunch of needles sticking you in your lip, and then it burns so bad. Like, I can feel it right now, but the only time I want to talk is when I'm preaching or talking on Block Talk Radio. Other than that, I just
all this time. I mean, that's been weeks ago, right? You still have that same thing.
The blue lady said it's because the trees out here everywhere, so it hasn't got. I said the trees. I said I ain't got no watery eyes and all that. They told me it's not gonna go away until they find out what it is so they can give you, you might need an EpiPen. I said, oh, the devil is a liar. I ain't going to be walking around sticking myself with no pen. Oh, God. Y'all
well,
should have seen me in here with no mask to take my blood.
Some very bad things with the mask, but that's why I don't want to repeat it, you know, especially on the
what
air.
You heard, Mother? Tell me so it can help me.
Only thing is, it's not going to help you because I don't know what to do about that. What I would say, but the reason why I don't want to say it because they'll shut down this radio program. I know it if I do it. That's why I don't want to talk about it. But
I see what you're saying.
Don't talk about it, because we don't want to be shut down. Don't talk about it.
That's what I said. Don't do it if they're going to do that.
That's why I don't say it. That's why I won't say it, you see. But I
thank you, though.
About that medical mask that they gives us. I ain't going to say nothing. Okay.
But that's nothing.
Okay,
let's get
to the topic.
Pastor Lamb, he comes on Daystar, and he told the people, don't take the vaccine. I'm telling you, do not take the vaccine. It's no good. It's this and it's that. And I was like, okay, zoop. How you gonna, if it's something to help the people from dying, why would you tell them not to take it?
There's another reason why they tell you that. I know what the reason is. I don't know if that reason is true, but I know what the reason is. I've been listening to a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know what the reason is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They want to reduce the population.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
All
Amen.
Around the world, not just here.
Amen, mother.
Around the world, they want to reduce the population.
Mm. Well, let's get into the topic, because that right there is about to make me crazy. Okay. Because we're remembering Christ Day, right? I want to talk about, and we've talked about it before, but I guess it bears repeating because it keeps coming up. I want to talk about forgiveness. And as easy as this sounds, it's just forgiveness. But why is it so hard for us to forgive? The one thing that God does require of us, to be forgiving. Huh? Mm-hmm. So why do we have a hard time forgiving? Okay, let me put it this way, and I'm gonna send this question to Apostle Mother Williams first, and then I'm going to go to the rest of you guys. Okay, first of all, I think part of it is, we don't understand the difference between forgiving and forgetting. We may have forgiven, but we haven't forgotten.
Right.
And so because we haven't forgotten, we're acting as if we haven't forgiven because we're still thinking about it. Mother, how do you separate the two, and what do you think about that?
Yeah, I believe that. If you haven't forgotten, you know what I mean, every now and then comes up about what a person did. And so you won't forgive them. You say, I forgive you, but you really don't, because you're still holding on to something. You're holding on to a grudge or something like that. I agree with that.
Okay. Then I want to understand, how come when the Bible tells us we have to forgive because we've been forgiven, why doesn't it tell us to forget? You know, why does he need that to be a choice?
Why
because
he says
we have to forgive, right? But he doesn't say we have to forget. He says forget about it. Throw in the sea of forgiveness. No, do it the same way you did forgive, because we can't forgive
Don't forget.
Right. Because we hold on to the forget part, even though, oh no, we look at the person, I forgive you, but you haven't forgotten. And because you haven't forgotten, it's keeping you bound to a place that looks like unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, when it comes up in your mind, you remind yourself that you've forgiven the person. And I'm not gonna dwell on that because I forgave them. I forgive them.
Right.
It's not you know, you mightn't forget the incident, but you still forgive them. Because if you don't forgive them, God is not gonna forgive you. You know what I'm saying? That's
and not only that, forgiveness is not for them, it's for you.
That's right.
I understand. But what I'm telling you is that the person is telling you up and down, I already forgave you. I already forgave you. But you're looking at their actions, and it says, I can't tell. But it's not that they haven't forgiven you, it's that they haven't forgotten.
Right.
Well, I think they really
have. So with that part, how come God doesn't wipe that out your memory?
Because you didn't ask them.
Well, if you say their actions are not good, I think they haven't really forgiven you, really. If their actions are not good. You see what I'm saying? If you forgive a person, then you try to, you know, you act like you forgave them. But if you still, you know, if you say I forgive you, but you're still holding on to the actions of the, you know, you're still angry and all of that, then you really haven't forgiven that person. Not really.
Well, what I've seen is a bunch of Christians say you have forgiven. But you have not gotten over it. That's
mm-hmm.
the part you need God to bring forth healing, because you haven't let it go because you haven't gotten over it.
Can
I chime in on something?
To get over it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the person can't help you get over it. You have to ask God to help you.
Well, no. It has to be God. There's no doubt in my mind. It has to be God that's going to help you get over
it.
But somehow for me, it's easier to forgive than the forget part. I want to know, God, how do you take it and throw it in the sea of forgetfulness? Right? Because you done seen some stuff. Excuse me. Pastor Stephen is trying to chime in. Go ahead, Pastor Stephen. Good morning.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
This is what I want to say about it, because I want to share, and I've shared it with my Pastor Kathy, about 20-something years ago when I had before, and my wife, and we were married, and she had a baby she got pregnant while we was married, and you know what, and I was so angry in my spirit, and I really, this is God's heaven truth, I wanted to kill both of those two people. I really did. If it was not for the Lord coming into my life and changing that thought plan of killing, taking both of their lives, then listen, and this is 20 years ago, and before we left Georgia, because when me and Kathy go see the grandkids, this same woman that did the same thing to me is always there. But listen to this. I don't even have not one ill feeling. Even when I see the seed that was produced through the sin, it still don't bother me, because I know what I know that God did in my life at that point. Yes, I forgave her. Forgot it, you know, it's always, once you see that person, you're not going to never forget it, but that pain and what I was going through, that's gone. But forget about what happened, when you see that person, you're going to see it. But see, that's the difference in God doing something and you just, you know, you doing it on your own. Because, like I said, me and Pastor Kathy would see a good little bit when we see the grandkids, and I didn't have no ill feelings. I was joyful, because I know God won that battle. He won it. He won it for me, because there's no possible way, if I would have tried to did something on my own, that I couldn't have forgive or forgave. But I know God did something special in my heart at the time. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he always says that the battle is not yours. It's the Lord.
Right.
So we have
right.
to step out of the way and allow God to fight our battles for us.
Right, exactly. Because we always mess it up and make it worse.
Is Sister Barbara still on the line, or she's off?
No, she's there.
This question is for Sister Barbara. What about those people that feel that they're justified in what they've done, and you go and do something else, you go and do whatever it is you desire to do, because you feel you're justified because of what the person did to you?
Sister Barbara, are you there? She probably
okay, let's go to Apostle Brother Wiggins. The person is feeling like they have not hurt you because they're feeling like you hurt me so bad and they went out and did something else.
You mean they're trying to get you back for what you did to them?
They're not trying to get you back, but they don't see the wrong in what they've done because they say you hurt me so bad that my life with you was over and they went out and did something.
So
back in the day, they used to call it a tit for tat, but
something.
It's not always that way.
Let me explain. Let me say something. They were hurt by something you did, so they went out and did something else. Is that what you're saying?
No. What I'm saying is they were hurt by what you did, so they don't feel the wrong in what they've done. They didn't go out to do it, right? It didn't start out that way. You hurt me, I'm going to go hurt you. It didn't start out like that. What it started out was, you hurt me. And now, when they go to do something that they desire to do, they don't really feel they've hurt you because they say, well, I remember when you hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you're saying. So they feel that they're justified because you had hurt them.
Exactly. They feel like they're justified.
Well, that's like getting somebody back in a sense, trying to get somebody back. My mother always said something. She always said, two wrongs don't make a right.
Thank you.
And
you know
that's
what I'm saying? Just because somebody did something
but mother,
to you. What?
Yeah. But my thing is, I've talked to a lot of women. I've talked to a lot of men, right?
Mm-hmm.
The person that went out on the back end, even though they remember what the person did to them when they hurt them and they went out and did something and it hurt the person, they don't feel like they did it to get even with them.
Yeah, they did, though. If they went out to hurt you because you had hurt them, they're just trying to get even with you.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they don't feel like that's why they did it.
They feel like they're justified.
Right.
No,
you know,
they don't feel like they don't feel like, well, I went out here to do this because you did this to me. They're not thinking about that. They got caught up in the situation. Situation went out of control. And then they felt like, oh, well, remember you hurt me too, you know. But they didn't set out to go hurt you. But anyway, it's just, I don't understand. God is looking down on us, and I know that he's trying to get it in our minds that it shouldn't be so hard to forgive if you're allowing me to help you.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be holding on so long. People are still holding on to things that happened to them when they were children.
Yeah, sometimes people are doing that. You know what I mean? I had something happen to me when I was a child. Well, I'm not going to bring it all up. But I'm saying that I didn't hold on to that. I mean, it bothered me for a long time, but I talked to God like your husband did, you know, that God brought him out. God brought me out of it. I remember
Absolutely.
It. Mm-hmm. But it's over, and I don't, you know what I mean? I don't feel bad about it anymore. You know what I
That's
mean?
That's right.
So,
okay,
That's
here's
right.
a question
God
for you,
brings
mother.
You out, but he brings you out gradually. You know what I'm saying? It don't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
if you forgive that person, God, and you tell God, you say, well, you know, could you take this whole thing away from me? You know, I don't
right.
want to feel this way about the person.
Absolutely.
And God will gradually
Absolutely.
Bring you out of it. He'll bring you right out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when
so
you
will.
Here's
person,
a question for you, mother.
Yes.
Okay. How can you be, or any of you, it's a question for any of you, how can you be an effective counselor? How can you be an effective counselor when some of these things that the people are bringing to you, you're not in agreement with them? How can you still be effective for them?
Well, when you say you're not in agreement, that's what you're there for, your counselor.
you're there to listen, I guess, for what they're saying, you know, or what they're complaining about or what they're saying about. But you could tell them your view of things. You know what I mean? You don't have to agree with them when they come to you. You're the counselor. They're not the counselor. That's why they come to you, right? They come to you because they want to iron out whatever it is. They talk to you on the situation, but they want to have some kind of conclusion about the situation in a godly way. So they come to you as a counselor, right? But you can't agree on everything they say anyway, because you're going by the word when you're a counselor, right? You're going by what the
Lord. Yeah,
what
a person counselor say, I can understand what you're saying, but.
There's going to always be a but.
Absolutely. I believe that counselors, whatever, when you come to them with
your story.
Tell
me something that somebody, you were a counselor and they talked to you about and you were in disagreement about.
That you would be in disagreement about?
You're the counselor, right?
Right.
Counselor, that's what I'm saying. The counselor would be in disagreement about. Okay, the boy comes in and he was molested when he was 12 and kept on being molested for years by the same person. And now he's a grown man.
Okay.
And he finds it hard to even come into that person's presence. I don't want to see what their family. And the person is looking at you, the counselor, going, I just can't fathom in me how to love this person again.
Mm-hmm.
As a family member that I looked up to when I was a kid, and this is what they did to me. Now, that is that story may seem, the counselors listening to it and processing in their mind what the response should be. But you know what? I honestly believe, that was my example. I honestly believe counselors are not there to be in agreement with you. They're there to be that outside of the situation person that can share some light on a very darkened situation.
Right.
I don't think they're supposed to be sitting there to be in agreement with you. They may understand how you feel hurt and all of this, but
that's
I don't
right.
necessarily feel like they're there to be in agreement, because guess what? Christ is a counselor.
That's it,
right?
And
when
he
goes
right.
in with things, he doesn't always agree with what we're saying, but he understands. He feels the pain. He feels the hurt for us. And his job is to take that away from us or put us in a place where we can be delivered from that and move on.
Right. That's it.
Absolutely.
This is Barbara. Right. Can I join you again? I had to step away for a moment.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say I like the fact that you said, I'm not a counselor, but sometimes people come to me, you know, for my opinion or to give them advice. And I like the fact that you said that you may not agree with them, but you say, like, from the start, I understand. That means a lot, you know, to tell them that you understand the situation. And you may not have experienced that. You may not be in agreement with that. But I've had a situation where someone came with me with, they were hurt, you know, and they were trying to really for me to be on their side. But I didn't agree with them. And I had to let them know that that's, you know, why didn't you try this? Why didn't the situation is briefly like someone went to see their father who they hadn't seen for a very long time since they were a child. They're now grown. And the father has since married. And so she feels that the wife, they've been married for like 30-something years now, but the wife has a little hatred for her. And so when she was there, she said that the wife fed her and she didn't really want to eat the food. You know, she felt that, you know, the wife was doing, possibly doing something to her, but she did not want to be rude, so she ate the food. But when she was on her way back to the this country, she felt a little sick or something. So my thing was, so why did you eat the food? I mean, first of all, you could have refused. Oh, I wanted to be polite. You could have cooked your own. You could have eaten at a restaurant. You could have only eaten fruit. I mean, so, but she felt that I was, I guess, not sympathizing with her and not being in agreement with her. So what do you think about that?
That's well, what I said. If the person, go ahead, Mother.
I was just going to say if I agree with Sister Barbara that, you know, she could have, there's all different kind of ways. If she felt like, I mean, did she have a suspicion that maybe she shouldn't eat the food? Maybe she just didn't listen to her.
Yes, but she said she felt that the mother-in-law really didn't like her and that she might have been putting something in her food.
But you ate it.
It was not compulsory. Oh, I didn't want to make them feel bad. Then you're silly. Mm-hmm. You're really silly.
Did she get sick after she ate the food?
She said on her way back home to the States, she felt a little funny. She felt sick.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't have to eat that. You could have eaten nothing, really. You could have just drank your own water.
Right, and it could be mind over matter. You know, maybe
that's
she's already planted that in her mind that the lady put something in the food to make her sick.
Right.
The point is, why did you eat it? If you felt that it was something suspicious, why would you eat it? Pastor Kathy, what do you think?
I don't believe for 1 minute, and even if it offends you or hurts your feelings, if I feel like you trying to poison me, your feelings going to be hurt because I'm not eating it. I don't want it. I'm not hungry. I'll eat later.
Exactly. You didn't have to eat. You didn't live there. You can eat when you get back to the hotel. What is the problem?
Or eat before
you know what?
That's
a funny situation right there because I've had something like that happen to me. The girl invited me over. She said a couple of folks was coming over for dinner and da-da-da-da. So I go over there, and I'm looking around. Where everybody at? She said, I guess they'll be here. They'll be here. Okay, well, when? So we sitting down, and she cooked up a meal and everything. And so she serves the food. Now, I'm not thinking nothing, but I am saved. I'm not thinking nothing, but I am saved. So she puts the food in front of me, and we talking with her. I said, I wonder when everybody getting here. She said, I don't know if they're coming. You know, people get to acting funky, and they don't want to come. I said, oh, well, I ain't going to stay too long. I don't want to be here till dark. So we get ready to go eat. And so I took a little bit of the food, and I ate it. Holy Ghost said, I don't think so.
All right.
I taste that food. I said, oh, uh-uh. Fit it right into my napkin. I said, you know what? I got to get up out of here. I don't even know what I was thinking. I told Pastor them, da-da-da-da. And she was like, what? No, stay. Finish eating. I said, no. You know what? Wrap it up to go. While she was wrapping it up to go, I just politely took myself on out. Talk to me outside.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't even staying in this house.
Isn't it good when you
and
hear that?
And so I went back. Yes. Because I tasted that food, and immediately that food should have never tasted like that. I have eaten, I have eaten African food or Indian food. And, you know, they have different seasonings, but that was not that. It wasn't a seasoning. That was not good. I said, okay, I didn't even swallow it. Mm-hmm. And when I was telling Pastor them, I went back to tell Pastor them, and I told him, and he says, I need to tell you a story. What story? And he went on to tell me, you know, what the girl was going through and da-da-da. And I said, why would y'all not tell people that? Because we don't have the liberty to tell you. But because you've gone through that, I have to share this. I said, trust you me, Because, see, I wasn't thinking nothing about it. And I know we've all been in situations where we're not thinking anything about it. But the Holy Ghost will send up a red alert.
Mm-hmm. Send you up a red alert, he sure will.
Absolutely. He will send you up a red alert. Back up, get away, stop. This is not good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you override the red alert, that's a whole nother story. But he will send up a red alert.
He sure will. He sure will.
Now, case in point, there's times when we're arguing with folks and the Holy Ghost will send up a red alert. Just don't say nothing. But you know, well, I don't know about anybody else. I'll override it, keep on arguing, because I'm trying to get my point across. And he's sending up a red alert, a green alert, a yellow alert, purple alert, and I don't hear nothing. I'm just trying to get my point across. And this is how he sent up the alert. People will look at me, well, they have, and go, Pastor, is that what a pastor would do? Pastor? You done got me to a boiling point, and now you're going to look at me on my pastor. I said, Pastor, human. Pastor, make mistakes. Get out of my way. Let me finish this conversation. But it wasn't because the Holy Ghost didn't stop me from saying what I was saying. Oh, no. Because you know what? I have been where me and my sisters, we all getting at it, and then there's the one sister that you don't even expect to try to calm down the situation. She's going, Kathy, she's be quiet. Don't say nothing. Don't let him have a way. Don't let the devil in. And you're looking at her going, where's she getting that from? But she's still talking. You know, and it's the one sister that you don't even expect to hear that from. And she said, don't let the devil have a way. And you still talking. Shut up. See, you blew it. You let the devil have his way.
You sure
okay,
did.
Well, you know, so my thing is, it's not that the Holy Ghost doesn't warn us or doesn't try to stop us from engaging in those kind of things, right? We know, like the woman, she was feeling that in her gut. Well, I don't know if it was true or not, but she was feeling like it was not a good situation that the meal was going to be tampered with. Why would she eat it?
Exactly.
You Amen. Have a choice. Let me see. You want to die or you want to hurt somebody's feelings? I choose to hurt your feelings. I don't want nothing to eat. Matter of fact, pack it up for me later. I eat it later.
Don't even take it. Leave it. They can have it.
You
but
know,
let me just say this.
And on my way out, I toss it in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let me say this before we get off this line. Listen, me and Pastor Stephen, we was at church. Now, the woman talking about, ooh, I made sweet potato pie and all this stuff. Now, she's going to put some on the fork, and she's going to come over to Pastor Stephen. He is tasting. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. You going to feed it in front of me? What is wrong with you people? Mm-hmm. She got it on the fork, and she's coming over to him. Oh, I think not. Because every bit of the God in me done got washed out. I said, what? Oh, and on top of that, now I done stopped her from feeding her. I done stopped that, but you're going to send a pie home. To who house? what house you think that pie going into? And my sister could tell you, we love sweet potato pie. But she took the taste right out of my mouth. She said, oh, I don't think so. Sister. And so I looked at him, and I guess he was saying, well, I'm new here. I don't even know these people. Yeah, I ain't new. And she ain't new either. In the trash it goes. You got no time for that stupidness.
Can I say something, Pastor Kathy?
Mm-hmm.
you know, the devil will try, you know, I'm from the country, I'm in California, but the devil knows that, I get up in church and I'm telling people I'm from the country. This is like months after all of this. This is months before all this happened. And I'm saying, you know, I'm from the country and, you know, I like sweet potato pie, cakes and this and that. Now, how did I know all of her friends, her so-called sisters in the Lord, was going to come at me in that kind of way, trying to, you know, get me through my appetite? And the devil does do it now, and he did do it. He did try to do it, you know, but that pie didn't reach home because it went right into the trash, no doubt.
Amen.
Well, yeah, you know, they
the problem is, Sister Barbara, this is for you, Sister Barbara.
Yeah.
This question is for you before we get off this line. Now, you heard what Pastor Stephen just said, right? How did he know that they was going to come at him with appetite, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he just said. How about this? Everything that the enemy uses to entice us, does he not come through appetite?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be food. It just has to be an appetite for whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He knows what you like. The devil knows what you like. So he's going to come at you in that particular way. But I just wanted to say before we go about forgiveness that it's not in our power as humans to sometimes forgive. That's where we rely on the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So what we can't do, what's impossible for us is possible with God if we allow him to guide us through his Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So it's hard.
That's right.
It's hard. But if you let the Holy Spirit do it, hey, it's doable. It's doable.
Amen. Amen. So I agree.
Okay. I tried to chime you in, but I think you were away from the phone.
I'm sorry.
I was trying to get you to answer.
I just wanted to say good morning to Brother Jake. God bless you. How are you this morning? It's still morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I was just listening to y'all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. It struck me when the topic was counseling and how much stigma there is against getting counseling. Like if I need counseling, I don't want anybody to know I need counseling because there's this stigma about it, that there's something bad. You know, I'm doing something bad if I'm seeking help.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to bring that up. I know it's a bombshell because we have two or three minutes.
I know you're not finished. That's from a psychologist. That's not from a preacher. From a preacher, they don't look at it like that.
Okay, but that's interesting because one could be doing the same thing. I mean, it's all psychology because we're all humans.
Yes, but here's the thing. They think a preacher is ministering.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And the psychiatrist is counseling. So they look at it differently. I'm with Sister Barbara. They think the preacher is just ministering to them.
They don't believe they're being counseled.
They may think you're crazy with the psychiatrist, with the minister.
Exactly.
They need spiritual guidance. So it's
exactly.
Maybe the same thing, but it's looked at differently. And either way is acceptable. If they're looking at you funny because you're going to a psychiatrist, that's their problem. You trying to get yourself together. Don't even be concerned about that, please.
Amen.
And if you keep your mouth shut, they won't even know.
I'm in agreement with that. If somebody needs counseling, whether you want it from a preacher or a psychiatrist, go get the help you need.
That's right.
You can't get no help with your mouth closed.
Amen.
Amen.
And that thing is eating you up on the inside to where you, and a lot of times it was eating you up really bad, you can no longer function.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, and that's
so. Why not go get some help?
Amen. Well, part of the problem. Well, I really lucked out because I have a psychologist who's he's aware of my spiritual life, and he doesn't put me down for it at all. And I know that there are some so-called therapists out there who don't believe in God, and you know, and that could lead to problems. But I'm just so pleased in the Lord that that I was given a therapist who cares and who actually prays for me.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, I don't mean to get in your business. Have you been going to that therapist for a long time, Brother Jay?
Now, yes. He's worth his weight in gold.
Okay.
He's worth his weight for gold, because you know how you feel like you're spilling your guts to a therapist and your therapist is not sharing with you their own personal issues?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he shares his personal issues with me, too. It's like we're like that.
You're
and that is
before I go,
blessing.
I want to say this. I had a young lady that came to me, and she was telling me she goes to the therapist and, you know, what's going on and da-da-da-da. And she came to me maybe for 3 months. And I'm looking at her, and my thing is, you need to fire your therapist. And she was like, what do you mean? I get to go there and empty out. Yeah, you empty out, but it's not gone. You're not being healed. He's not, the person isn't helping you, because you're still telling me the same stories over and over and over again. That means you haven't released them yet. You haven't been healed. You haven't been delivered. All that
That's
person
right.
does is allow you to sit there and talk. And then, okay, your hour's up, pay me. Right? They're
yeah.
not offering therapy. Therapy is supposed to help you. It's supposed to bring forth a healing. You have not been healed. You just got
right.
a place where you can go talk about the problem. But they're
right.
still there because you're still talking about them. Where
right.
I was in 2004, if I'm still there in 2005, we got a problem. Because
mm-hmm.
God is ever moving. So if you find yourself standing still, whether it's problems or whatever, and you haven't made one little step forward, there's a problem. When you get to 2005, you should be able to look back and say, I remember when it's 2004, I was doing this, or whatever. There should be some kind of change, however small, however big. Something should have changed within that year. God is ever moving, so his people should be ever moving. The thing is, we're supposed to be moving forward. We may not always move forward. Sometimes people start reversing and going backwards. But we're supposed to be ever moving forward, because that's the God that we serve. He's moving forward. He's trying to bring us to where he is. He's in our future. He's trying to
right.
bring us there. But we can't get there if we have these stumbling blocks. And some of the stumbling blocks is not allowing God to help us get the healing, the deliverance we need. That young lady, I promise you, you talk to her right now, she's going to tell you the same story she was telling me 3 years ago.
Wow.
She won't let go. And I think that she won't let go because she uses it as a weapon towards her mother, to keep her mother in a position where she feels like she owes her and she has to do this because she didn't do it back then.
Oh.
Anyway, thank you guys for joining in today.
That sounds like a topic of discussion for next Saturday.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you
Amen.
Guys for joining in. I appreciate your input, appreciate your honesty, appreciate your openness to just share and know that it's a safe place, because wherever you find Christ, you always find safety. He is our refuge. We should be able to openly discuss anything without being offended, without being hurt. The purpose is to get help, to get healing, to know how to move forward. It is supposed to be beneficial and not offensive to us. So thank you guys for sharing. I know somebody heard something to go, I can use that. Well, I should look at it like that. So we bless God that everybody got a little bit of something that shed a little bit more light on not how you should do things, but how others think, how they feel it, you know? Sometimes
right.
it's not always about us. Sometimes we got to be concerned about other people In fact, all the time we should be. That's what God said. So I thank you. I love you. We're getting ready to close out now. Mother,
yeah.
I am so happy I heard your voice today. I was praying Thursday and said good things about you, but she wasn't there. But, you know, I always bring you your roses.
I thank you so much.
Yeah, I hope you can still smell your roses.
Yeah.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Sister Barbara, for what
you
said.
I went through, could I say one thing? If you knew what I went through on Thursday, you would understand.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah. Evangelist Kevin could tell you, we prayed and I offered you roses. I said, oh, I can't forget Apostle Mother Williams. And yes, ma'am, I brought you your roses.
Well, I sure needed it.
We thank God. And thank God for all of you joining the conversation. Brother Jake, thank you for taking time to join in and participate. Pastor Stephen, thank you for participating. Kenya, sir, all of you, thank you. And just the ones that are listening, hope you got something out of it, because everybody goes through something, and there's going to be a time you call in and find somebody going through what you went through, and we hope that what they went through and how God got them out is help to you to help get you out or steer you in the right direction, knowing God can do it for you too. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
For all of you out there that haven't found Christ yet, it is never too late. It is never too late, no matter what you've been through, what you've done. God is not concerned with all that. His only concern is that right now you want to give your life to Christ and you can do it. Father God, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, come into my life. I make you my Lord and Savior. Once you do that, he's stretching out his holy arms, ready to love on you, because he's been by your side all the time. You just never let him in. And now he wants to love on you. Why? Because it's not his desire that any should perish. Father God, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. Thank you for your people being open and honest and finding a safe place where they can discuss things, get things out so that they can receive healing in those areas. They can be delivered and not still holding on to the stories from way back when, but they're moving forward and they're progressing and they're having that life and life more abundantly that you said you came to give us. So we thank you. We thank you for everybody just being open and honest and nothing being held against anybody. No offense, nothing. We love each other. We're there to support one another, to be a light in a darkened area. After all, that's what you sent us to do. We thank you. We love you. We pray that everybody goes and have a great, great Saturday. Ooh, let it be a blessed, blessed weekend for everybody that they may get rest. Thank you for the healing that you continue to bring forth in Apostle Mother Wiggins' body and all of our bodies, in my mouth, everything that you've done. We are forever grateful. We ask all of these blessings that you continue to walk with us, guide us, just be that umbrella over us, oh God, sheltering us from the storm and allowing us to have your strength to walk through the storm. We thank you, we love you, we honor and adore you. We ask all of these blessings in the mighty name of your son Jesus we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Back to you, Evangelist Hilda.
Amen. Have a blessed day, everyone, and a wonderful weekend. We love you. And thank you. And on that
God
note,
bless.
God bless.
God bless. God bless y'all.
And on that note, we're going to rise on up out of here. Praise God. Have a blessed one, everybody.
To heal. Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.